here's a story from The World.
Movements for greater equality gain and lose steam. This time, though, feels different. Bigger, more widespread, and across the globe, calls to end systemic racial discrimination do not appear to be slowing down. In London, protesters are chanting, "I can't breathe." In Rome, speakers demand an end to police brutality. We've seen the same in Australia's capital, Canberra. In Hong Kong, people like Quinlan Anderson explained why the killing of a black man in Minnesota is reverberating in a Chinese territory thousands of miles away.
As much as it is an issue with the U.S., it is a global issue. People around the world will be looking at the U.S. and thinking to themselves that obviously black lives don't seem to matter that much, but we have to remind ourselves that despite all we see going on in the U.S. and in other parts of the world, black lives do indeed matter.
Protests also continue to grow in Japan, South Korea, Lebanon, Kenya, and South Africa, to name just a few places. Hope that the swell of activism will lead to lasting change. Most of the recent global protests have been peaceful, with some exceptions. A London street fight this weekend led to multiple arrests and police injuries. Police in Bristol, England, are also investigating property damage. Dramatic scenes there over the weekend, powered by anger over Bristol's history with the transatlantic slave trade. The World's Orla Barry reports from London.
The statue of slave trader Edward Colston stood in the city centre of Bristol for 115 years. On the plaque that remains are the words, "A memorial of one of the most virtuous and wise sons of Bristol." Below that, someone painted in white spray paint, "Black Lives Matter." This was the moment the Colston statue was pulled off its pedestal on Sunday. A demonstrator posed with one knee on the figure's neck, a reminder of the final moments of George Floyd's life, who was killed in police custody in Minneapolis. For this protester, it wasn't just about a monument in Bristol.
That coming down today hopefully signifies change. Hopefully we've sent a message not just to everyone in the UK or the USA, worldwide. We need worldwide difference. It can't just come here. It can't just come in America. It needs to come worldwide.
As protesters rolled the 18-foot bronze statue through the streets of the city, local police stood by and watched.
You might wonder why we didn't intervene and why we just allowed people to put it in the docks. We made a very tactical decision that to stop people from doing that act may have caused further disorder, and we decided the safest piece to do in terms of our policing tactics was to allow it to take place.
But today, police say they've launched an investigation into what happened, and the British Home Secretary, Priti Patel, welcomed that decision.
It's right, actually, the police follow up on that and make sure that justice is undertaken with those individuals that are responsible for such disorderly and lawless behaviour.
For years, the statue has been a source of controversy in Bristol, one of England's most progressive cities. Trader Edward Colston was born in the city and made his fortune through the Royal African Company. Historians say the company sold close to 100,000 people from West Africa to the Americas in the 1600s. Colston later donated much of his wealth to local schools and charities. But David Olashoga from the University of Manchester says people in political power didn't care where the money came from.
There's a cult of Colston that was created for political and religious reasons in the 1890s, because the people who ran Bristol then didn't really worry the fact that Colston had been a slave trader. He's not the greatest philanthropist in the city. It's really to do with the attempts by Bristol's political and merchant elite to reinforce their power and their religious bigotry.
A spokesman for the British Prime Minister says Boris Johnson sees the statue's removal as a criminal act. Others say it erases history. But Olashoga dismisses that line of criticism.
This is not an attack on history. This is what happens. Statues are removed, they're replaced, they're put in museums, they're taken off pedestals. Go to Germany, outside of Berlin, there is a museum full of statues, the Siegerallee statues. And they were removed after the Second World War because they reminded everybody of the Prussian militarism that had led to two world wars.
While his statue now lies at the bottom of Bristol Harbour, Colston's presence is still very visible in the city.
It's the way the Colston name dominates our skyline, and particularly in the centre of Bristol.
Ros Martin is an artist and one of the driving forces behind the Countering Colston campaign, which has been fighting to have the statue removed.
You know, there's a Colston Tower, there's a, you know, the hall, there's a Colston Avenue, etc., etc.
She says it's time to remove Coulson's name from streets and buildings across Bristol. Today, an empty plinth still stands in the city centre, and questions are now being asked about who or what should replace the statue. Martin says it's time to pay tribute to those whose voices are rarely acknowledged.
I think there should be a monument to African ancestors, acknowledging their contributing to the wealth of the city. There's lots of things that can be done to put forward our history in a skyline which honours usually those without voices.
The Mayor of Bristol, Marvin Rees, who's black, says he doesn't support social disorder, but he called the Coulson statue an affront to humanity. One day, he said, it should be fished out of the harbour and put into a museum. For The World, I'm Orla Barry in London.